is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
6 minutes after the hour on this Monday. Welcome to it, my friends. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Appreciate you stopping in and making us a part of it. If you'd like to join the conversation, please do so. 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. This hour brought to you in part by Total Firearms. Total Firearms Gun Shop, the place to find it new or used. If you're looking for the best price possible or a collector's item, TotalFirearmsGunShop.com, the place to get it done, and the folks bringing you this hour of the program. Well, could these escaped prisoners be right under their noses there in New York? Still missing. Sweat and Matt still missing, the 34 and 48-year-old killers, respectively. They escaped more than 2 weeks now. They've been on the run. More than 2 weeks they have been on the run, and no idea where they are. Now they've returned the search back to the immediate area around the prison. They've looked in places as far away as 350 miles, and the Albany Times Union reporting this morning that forensic evidence has been discovered, indicating that either Richard, Matt, or David Sweat had recently been in an area 20 miles from the correctional facility in Dannemora. The paper, citing a person familiar with the investigation, reported that the evidence suggested that at least one of the men had broken into a home in the area of Owl's Head, which is right near the prison anyhow. I mean, these guys have, regardless where they are, quite a disappearing act that they have pulled, to say the least, and I just find it fascinating. Fascinating what they've pulled off, and you just wonder, in this day and age, how could anybody escape from prison, but somehow, some way, they pulled it off. For a lot of folks here in Michigan, all eyes remain on the Supreme Court. Tensions are building now. Both in and outside of that courtroom, the white marble facade of the U.S. Supreme Court, because, of course, gay marriage. A decision on gay marriage could happen today, could happen any day. Is it constitutional or not constitutional, legal or not legal? Of course, Obamacare also on the big block. 11 cases left to decide. The biggest, of course, is the gay marriage and the Obamacare matter, and whether or not middle and low-income people will be able to buy health insurance that could lead to millions of people losing medical coverage, about 6.5 million. They wouldn't lose their coverage. They'd lose their subsidies. Let me be clear on that. Many legal experts predict the court will legalize gay marriage nationwide by finding that the United States Constitution's guarantees of equal treatment under the law and due process prohibit states from banning same-sex nuptials. The problem with this is there will be great fallout on religious organizations and churches and groups all across this country, because it will legalize the attack on Christianity. Legalizing gay marriage will, in fact, outlaw the core beliefs of many. It will outlaw the core beliefs of many, many millions, in fact. The four liberal justices, and this is not the way it's supposed to be, the four liberal justices are expected to support same-sex marriage, and conservative justice Anthony Kennedy, he's not really conservative, I'm just pulling this article from Yahoo News is where this came from. They called Anthony Kennedy a conservative. Not exactly. The expected swing vote has a history of backing gay rights. In three key decisions since 96, Kennedy has broadened the court's view of equality for gays. The most recent, a 2013 case in which the court struck down a federal law denying benefits to married same-sex couples. But again, we'll see what happens. Everybody's predicting a win for gay marriage. which makes me think it could easily go the other way. Remember when everybody was predicting that Obamacare was going to go down in flames? And then Chief Justice Roberts sided with the president. I don't make any predictions when it comes to the Supreme Court. I can just say they're tough decisions. And I make no predictions. I was watching over the weekend in Charleston where there were no riots and no looting. I was watching as thousands walked hand in hand through the streets of Charleston on Father's Day. They sang, they wept, they held each other, and they held up higher ideals for all to see and to be witness to. And this is what people of faith do. In the wake of the unspeakable attack, born of bigotry and hatred, and fueled by prescription drugs, violent video games, and the internet itself, Charleston did not spiral into riots and looting, but rather rose up with love and hymns, and most importantly, forgiveness. Let this be a lesson to those who choose to ignore the strength of faith. For those who applaud the Supreme Court attacking what some people say is an attack on faith, keep this in mind. You see, when true evil rears its despicable head, our nation puts aside political rhetoric and division. Well, most of us do anyway. We hold each other, rally for each other, support each other for as long as it takes. What happened in Charleston, nothing like what happened in Ferguson or Baltimore. Common sense people know that. Clear thinking, honest and good people know that. People like Al Sharpton are shunned, and the voices of people whose loved ones were gunned down by an evil man are instead lifted up. This is the America that I know and love. This is the America I know and love on display. There is not finger pointing in the streets of Charleston. There is an effort instead to point to the future and to rebuild the faith in this shaken community. I think many in this great and exceptional nation ought to take notice of what has happened in Charleston these last few days, and maybe more importantly, what has not happened, and the good things that we have. And Sharpton was told specifically, we don't need this. Now, for Senator Tim Scott, a black Republican senator from the state of South Carolina, he said the country will now have a robust conversation about race relations. Scott is just one of the two black U.S. senators. He said, my voice will be clear. My position will be stated. I'm not going to make any breaking news right now. He said this over the weekend. I have made the commitment to waiting till after the funeral to start that debate. And I'm going to honor that commitment. People were asking Scott about the Confederate flag over the State House in South Carolina. Well, there's no doubt that South Carolina has a rich and provocative history, Scott said, and that flag is part of the history. And for some, that flag represents that history. And for so many others, it represents a pain and oppression. But he left it there. He said his conversation and debate will be coming soon. Senator Tim Scott, the black Republican senator from South Carolina, to weigh in on that sometime in the next few days. That, of course, in the wake of those horrible 9 killings in Charleston at the AME Church. It's 14 after the hour on this Monday. The hotline number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. It's Monday on the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan's radio program of record is The Steve Gruber Show. Here is Steve Gruber.
It is 18 after on this Monday. No, seriously, just watch. Don't even go to work today. Just plop back down on the couch, watch TV until your eyes go crossed. Seriously, I mean, it doesn't matter. That's what Mike Hughes would say. That's what his advice would be. Isn't that right, Mike?
Hello, yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So what's hot this week? It's summertime on TV.
Well, there is finally something really good. You know, you've asked me a couple times, is there some kind of a really special discovery in summer, kind of a bonus show that we weren't expecting to be that good? And there is finally. It's called Mr. Robot, and it's at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, and incidentally has nothing to do with robots, so I don't know why they call it that. But it's just one of these really great, haunting shows. It's about a computer hacker who feels that the world is against him, and it turns out it is. And he is finding things and digging into people's souls and their computer backgrounds. And it's just a really, really good show. It starts at 10 o'clock on Wednesday on the USA Network. And it's just, give it a try this week. It's one of these things where every now and then you'll find a summer show that just is really worth catching.
And what's it called again?
Mr. Robot.
All right.
Which, Lord knows why, because like I say, you should really have a robot if you call it Mr. Robot. It's a computer hacker. There's a young actor named Rami Malek who stars in it. He's half Egyptian, so the only time you've ever seen him is in the Night at the Museum movies. He plays this young pharaoh at the museum. Well, now he's a breakout star here. He stares at the camera and he just absorbs the camera. I'd say this is one of the real bonuses of the summer. Beyond that, this is just a week when there's a lot of shows arriving for the summer. I mean, familiar shows that even on the networks are back. Big Brother comes back on Wednesday. The Dome comes back on Thursday. Rookie Blue comes back on Thursday. Suits and Graceland are on cable. All of a sudden, we look around and say, hey, I thought summer was all about reruns. Apparently, it's not. There's a bunch of new shows this week.
Bunch of new shows and apparently some decent stuff out there.
Yeah, not bad at all, yeah.
So when does the fall season actually start? When do we get back into all the programs?
Usually the third week of September, occasionally the second week of September. And people try to rush it a little bit, like the CW, because they get nervous and nobody will notice them, which they don't.
Right.
So they might start the first week of September. But yeah, mid-second week of September, shows will start to come in. But it used to be we'd just sit there and fidget and wait and say, oh, come on, when will it start? But you look right now, you'll have some nights where you'll have, on the four big networks, you'll have all four of them have a new show at the same time during the summer. When you throw in all the reality shows, all the competitions, my favorite is So You Think You Can Dance, which is Monday nights, and it's a really good show. But there's something to watch all the time.
I greatly appreciate that. All right. Mike Hughes, any must-watches we must have?
Must-watch tonight? This show, American Genius, which is so good. It's a documentary on National Geographic. It goes for all the day from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. today. But at 10 o'clock, a kind of a local show, Thomas Edison versus Nikola Tesla. Edison's, of course, the guy who grew up in Port Huron. And this is a battle of two inventors who are totally different. Try that. 10 o'clock tonight. National Geographic Channel.
All right, Mike Hughes, always a pleasure, my friend.
Okay, we'll catch you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. All right, it is 22 after the hour on this Monday. All right, so I always tell you that, you know, we have a post up on Facebook and so forth. Put your comments on there and we'll talk about them and give us a call at the hotline, 888-900-9966. Well, I received a comment from a listener, not pleased with me at all, and I decided that, you know, I'll just share this with you. Because it's not just about putting people on the air that agree with me. It's those that take issue with some of the things I say. But this gentleman, and I'll just leave his name out of it to be fair. This gentleman, his issues were with me. Is that I made sport of Diane Rehm last week. And make sport, I did. Your comment, here, let me just read this now. Your comments about NPR's Diane Rehm brought you into the stereotypical thoughtless conservative rank. This comment regarding her voice was mean-spirited. Her voice is due to a medical condition, and she has struggled with that for years. Attack her political views, and I will applaud, and attack her personally is beneath you, and an apology on air would be appropriate. Well, here's my opinion on that. You know, people need to know when it's time to go. And Diane Rehm, it's time to go. What it reminds me of, sadly, is that times when Dick Clark, post-stroke, was still being pushed out in front of a camera when it was uncomfortable for everybody, including him, I would guess, or when Muhammad Ali was brought out by a golf cart in the middle of a football game here a year or two ago. And then I see this guy that's being taken out to the center of the football, I don't even remember, playoff game, Super Bowl, something. I don't recognize that guy. Well, it's Muhammad Ali, and I'm thinking, he looks like he weighs 90 pounds. Obviously, he's been battling this very serious illness for a long time. He looks terrible. Don't do this. So I'm sorry that Diane Rehm has an issue with her voice that I was making sport of. And yes, I was. But my general finding over time is that conservatives have a sense of humor, and those on the left Do not. So for the thoughts that they say, stereotypical, thoughtless conservative, you know what? Get a sense of humor. Diane Rehm, it's time for her to go for a variety of reasons. First of all, she sounds awful. Well, it's a medical condition. I don't care. She has no business being on the air. None. If that's the way she's going to sound, any more than Dick Clark should have been out in front of those, you know, rocking New Year's Eve celebrations. He should not have. You need to know when it's time to go. You need to know when, you know what? I'm good here. It's time to move on. And I don't think it was personally beneath me, but that's as close as you're going to get to an apology today. I don't apologize for pointing out the obvious and having some fun with it. Here's something, and there you go. There's my response. Anyhow, you can always post your comments at the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. We'll talk about it. And sometimes I will agree with you, and then there's times like now when I do not, simply put. The Steve Gruber Show Facebook page, you can call the hotline at 888-900-9966 and find out more at stevegruber.com. But don't expect me to roll over just because you say I should. It's Monday. Welcome to it. We'll be back after this.
The Steve Gruber Show. Jump starting your day with the news that matters.
All right, 33 after the hour. Welcome back. I'm just sitting here reading through some things about Hillary Clinton, you know. Doesn't want to take your guns except, of course, assault weapons and ammunition clips. And so she doesn't want to take your guns except for the ones that she wants to take, right? So she doesn't want to mess with the Second Amendment except for the part she wants to mess with. Yeah. You'll be able to keep state-approved guns, apparently, under Hillary Clinton's new plan. That's, you know, no surprise to anybody. Larry Pratt's here, the president of Gun Owners of America. Larry, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Steve. Good to be with you. It's nice to hear that Hillary will let us keep some guns.
Well, that's what she says now, but let's not get carried away.
I think I'll hold my enthusiasm until I see what's actually happening. Hillary Clinton, I don't think, is talking about doing away with the armed Secret Service protection that she enjoys for life.
No, of course, no. She's not. She's not getting rid of the Secret Service, and they're... Well, they've got a lot more than guns, don't they? They got that surface-to-air missiles and so forth in the back of some of the big Suburbans and so forth. Let's be honest. They got SAMs in there.
They can take care of Hillary, so what's she got to worry about?
Yeah, exactly, except for an uprising from the peasants, and we don't want the peasants to have any more than just pitchforks. That's clear.
Well, I think that might be one of the motives for gun control. It certainly is not legitimately... it's not convincingly an argument based on concern about crime, because more Americans own more guns per capita every year, and this has been going on for some time, and crime has been going down.
Well, exactly. Crime has been on the decline in America pretty much since I was born. We had some peak years in the early 70s, and I think the peak year for homicide was 1993, maybe, when her husband was president of the United States. But since that time, we have expanded the right to have concealed carry all over this country. And violent crime continues to, well, not just fall, but plummet in many areas.
It's simply a tough sell that she's got. But I think it makes it all the more clear that the elite continues to push for gun control because they don't like the idea that us peasants have guns. And isn't it interesting that this is a bipartisan problem? Karl Rove just the other day said that, well, if we really want to get rid of violence, we're going to have to get rid of the Second Amendment. Really? So let's see now. In Fairfax, Virginia, you can own just about any kind of gun you want. You can own as many of them as you want. You can buy them from another individual privately 10, 20 times a day. Over in Washington, D.C., until recently, you couldn't even legally own a gun. Let's see, where was the crime the highest? Oh, yeah, it was over in Washington. It's still high there. It's still double the national average. Fairfax County, Virginia, has a murder rate that is actually lower than, quote-unquote, gun-free England. So the arguments that they're making just don't hold up.
No, they don't make sense. They don't hold water. And you're right, Karl Rove did say the only way to repeal, the only way to stop violence altogether is to repeal the Second Amendment. And it makes you wonder, what does he actually think? Does Karl Rove think we should repeal the Second Amendment? Because, again, I look at all these Republicans anymore and just go, how are you any different?
Rove certainly doesn't give you a convincing answer to the contrary, that they are different. But then Karl Rove has been a poser all along. This is the guy that, from everything I can tell, chose the most liberal candidate in the first gubernatorial campaign that he was involved in Texas, namely George Bush. And then he, alongside George Bush, has been an advocate for the most liberal candidate in every Republican primary that I've been able to identify. So he seems pretty consistent. And it just makes my skin crawl when leading conservatives speak highly of him, because this guy doesn't deserve their praise. He has been an architect of disaster.
I would agree with you on that. Karl Rove has been a dangerous individual. But here's the problem for Americans that believe in the Constitution, you and I. They being the Republicans and Democrats, do everything they can to vilify the so-called Tea Party. They do everything they can to vilify Americans who believe in the Constitution or have a foundation in faith or a foundation in the Second Amendment. The attack is on. Now, there certainly are a lot of Republicans that don't feel that way, but it is pretty damn disheartening to hear him say something like that, because you know he's involved with a lot of these campaigns right now.
He sure is. He's a consultant raking in the big bucks, because he's considered to be such a genius political guru. And I think he is kind of a genius, but it's kind of the genius that you don't really want to have around because it's nefarious.
Yeah, how do you deal with that, though? Then how does the National Rifle Association is, 4 million members? Your organization is not, huge. How do you push back?
Well, actually, I think we are making progress in that. If you take a long view, nearly 40 years ago, when I first got involved with Gun Owners of America, public opinion had kind of a default assumption that gun control would help. Now, we've seen polls saying that, a home is actually safer with a gun in it, and people say, they like to live in a neighborhood where there are guns. All of these things indicate to me that people have done a very considerable amount of reconsideration and have concluded that pretty obvious that however much the police try to do everything they can to keep the community safe, it takes them a certain amount of time before they can get to where trouble might actually be occurring. And what are you going to do in the meantime is a question that most people, I think, have now answered by saying, well, okay, I know what I'm going to be doing while I'm waiting for the police. I'm going to be getting my gun out.
Absolutely. And I'm protecting myself and my family. I have a right to self-preservation. I have a right to defend myself, my home, and my family. No question, Larry. But, maybe Karl Rove could be the architect for Hillary's campaign, because it sounds like they're pretty well on the same page when it comes to important issues like this one.
That's a good idea, and she's obviously able to raise an incredible amount of money. Look at what the Hillary Clinton, what does Limbaugh call it? The library and massage parlor has brought in something around $100 million. There's a lot of money there in Hillary. Go, 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 Carl.
A ton of money. You got that right. All right. Greatly appreciate it, Larry. Have a great day, my friend.
Hey, thanks so much. Really good to be with you.
There you have it. Larry Pratt back on the program here, for the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. So Karl Rove, alleged conservative Republican, the next to come out against guns, your rights. They call him a Republican. 41 after the hour on the Steve Gruber Show.
This is the Steve Gruber Show, bringing you the news and newsmakers that affect you most.
It's 45 after the hour. Steve Gruber Show here on a Monday. John on the line to correct me about something. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Well, what I wanted to say was the panel that Carl Rove was on was discussing the gun situation, and he was not advocating the way you were putting it. What he was saying was that the only option that those who are for more gun legislation, their only option was to do away with the Second Amendment. He wasn't advocating for it. He was pointing out that all the protests and all that really didn't matter. He was actually defending the gun rights, but he did make the statement that their only option was to change that piece of the Constitution.
Right, I was asking. I was trying to figure out if he was saying it in a way that, okay, you know, here's a rhetorical answer, if you will. But now, I guess that's a fair question, and I appreciate you clarifying that for us, John.
That was the only thing. I think with his political acumen, he should have known better.
Well,
to say it differently, I think, and that's one of the reasons I'm not a fan of his.
Well,
because all the rest of the things you said about him, I agree with entirely. I just want to be fair that he was not advocating for more gun laws.
Fair enough. Appreciate your time, okay. John. Appreciate it so much. All right. Shifting gears now to a Michigan story that could affect you sometime soon, especially when you head off to the grocery store. Terry Sabo is here, the chairman of the board of Muskegon's County Board of Commissioners. Terry, welcome to the program here.
Thank you. Good morning.
And the reason we have you here is there's been a lot of conversation around the country about plastic bags, the ones we get from the grocery store and so forth, these little lightweight bags that hit the wind and they blow away, and then you see them along the roads everywhere, and they're kind of a nuisance. They make a mess. If you go by any landfill, you see them everywhere. And the Muskegon folks have moved to creating the first ban outlawing these plastic bags by city ordinance. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, it's just something that I noticed in my travels, my everyday travels around Muskegon County, and really the whole state of Michigan, to be quite honest with you, I see these bags flying around the wind. They're caught up in the trees, they're stuck in the ditches, and it just kind of started to bother me a little bit, and I am not one who's can proclaim to be a tree hugger or anything like that. I just consider myself to be a pretty average citizen. But when I started noticing this, it really started to make me begin to think. And then what really kicked it into gear for me was at our county wastewater facility, which also includes our solid waste, in order to remain compliant with a lot of the state regulations in regards to that, we have to make sure a lot of the trash is picked up. And what I found out was when we had to renew a contract with a local firm for the amount of $25,000 for them to come out and pick up this trash, which I'm told about 90% of which is plastic bags. And that's where really kind of got my interest going on. It was because now we're expending taxpayer dollars to pick these bags up. And it's just, to me, it's just out of control.
Well, and I don't disagree with you, and I'm not what that would be. You know, I'm an environmentalist. I'm not a reactionary of any sort. I'm an environmentalist.
Yeah.
I hunt, I fish, I feed my family venison and so forth. But I do think that there's a huge problem when it comes to these plastic bags that are along the road everywhere. I mean, they're a nuisance. Not to mention they're hazardous to wildlife as a general rule.
Yeah.
And they get in the lakes and they get everywhere. Any pushback from anybody?
Oh, yeah. You know, well, I think anytime we have, an issue, something like this, there's always going to be pushback. But, the way I look at it, we have an item it's designed for a one-time use that never goes away. And these things are flying around the community. And it was, when I looked around and had our staff do some research, we found that over 200 communities across the country have sort or similar bands, a sort of band of some type. And it was then that that I challenged the rest of my commissioners to take a look at this to see if this was something that Muskegon County could do. And there have been some kickback to a certain degree, but then again, we haven't really moved forward a lot with it yet. We're still doing some investigation on how we could do that. But I think it's going to take a cooperative effort from the big stores, small stores, from our residents. And then we'll see how things play out.
So what do you think the solution is? Obviously, if you ban these bags, that's one thing. Other folks are going to complain that shouldn't use paper bags either for some reason or another. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, what is the solution to all of this?
Well, good question. I think really the reusable bags are the answer. But I can tell you that even using the paper bags, though, you know, they, at least when we use those, they break down. We could find some other uses for them. And with those plastic bags, there really is no other reuse other than picking up your dog waste. And that's probably the common thing that I hear from people. What are they going to pick their dog waste up with?
I have a second use for you, Terry. They're really good for dirty diapers, too. I got to be honest with you. There's a second use right there.
Mm-hmm.
Take it from a man who knows. Trust me on this one.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I believe that there are other uses such as that. I'm not debating that whatsoever. But I think when you look at the number of bags that are dispensed on a daily basis compared to the number of bags that actually get turned back in for some sort of recycling, or they have those diaper or dog waste uses, it's not even comparable when you look at those two numbers. And it's just something that I think we've got to get a good grasp on and take it from there.
I think it's a bold move on your part, and I appreciate you joining us to tell us about it. Terry Sabo, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Terry Sabo from the County Board of Commissioners, the chair there. Chairman of the board, he is. Muskegon banning plastic bags at the store. First one in Michigan to do it. And where did you hear about it? One place. The Steve Gruber Show on a Monday.